The following program, Voice of Victory, is sponsored by Mount Olivet Baptist Church.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
And a good Thursday morning to you. This is the Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Brother Walker, Pastor Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and so glad you could tune in this good day. Acts chapter 4, if you have a Bible. Acts chapter 4, if you have the Word of God. If you could slow your mind down enough, shut off all the devices in your life, and take some time to very carefully and even methodically read the Bible with great meditation, you'd be shocked at the power it has. It's amazing, the words of this book, the power that it has, and then to meditate on those words. Nothing like it in all the world. In Acts 3, we find Peter and John in verse 1 went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, at a prayer meeting, being the ninth hour. We started a prayer meeting here. We have some men that meet from 6 o'clock to 6:15 every Sunday night. I don't know how many go, 3 or 4, I think. I wish there were more. They have a prayer meeting. And we're at present wanting to find another time where we can have a regular prayer meeting. I believe behind it all we'll be praying. I really do. And without it, and that's it, it's the way God made it. Without it, we're powerless. Now, that's the truth, friend. You tell me your prayer life, and I'll tell you how long you stay in this thing fired up for God, fired up for righteousness, fired up for soul winning and soul building. Our model for church activity is the book of Acts, and what they did was win souls and build souls, made disciples. Now, you got to win them to Christ before they can become a disciple. Then, but you got to disciple them, and the more you do that, the more we will win to Christ. And who said we couldn't have a last hour revival before the rapture? I mean, who says that we cannot? And I believe in all my heart that I can enjoy personal revival. And I hope we can have it in my family and in our church, in our town, in our neck of the wood, and in our neck of the woods, and in our city, and in our state. Here they went to the hour of prayer. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This was the original almost homeless people on the streets needing food. This was legitimate. This man obviously had a need. No obvious government assistance. And the Bible says he was lame from his mother's womb. Born lame, but valuable to God. Valuable to God. This crowd that wants to kill babies, that maybe have an affliction or a handicap, and boy, that's heartache. Maybe nothing as hard as that. But friend, truth is, that's a human being. It's a creation of God. And this evidently man was very important. And they came daily, and what better place to come than the gate of the temple? Place where God dwells. Place where God peoples go on a regular basis. Place where the Word of God is no doubt preached. A place where the love of God should be present. So he goes to the place, and it's called Beautiful. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Got some food? Yeah. Maybe a piece of clothing? Alms are that which you give to help someone impoverished, whether it be a food, clothing, some material thing, or maybe money. So it covers all of it. It's not just money, but it's anything a person may need. I like the answer of Peter. And I've said this to a few homeless people I've talked to, or a few folks that are begging on the street. I've said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. That's what he said to him. He said, could you give us some alms? They looked at him. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What he had was more valuable than silver and gold, than clothes on his back. He knew the one that had the power to forgive him of his sins and heal him of his ailment. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Friend, people knew the man. This caused a big problem. A big problem. People came, tried to elevate Peter and John beyond what they wanted. They were humbled by that. Boy, then they preached. And they absolutely, you find Peter saying, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And that's what we ought to say to the world. If a guy gets cleaned up and doesn't go back to the tavern and the tavern doesn't get his money anymore, don't get mad at us. Get mad at God. That's what he's the one cleaned him up. Hey, the dope man shouldn't get mad at me if that person who's on dope gets born again, gets turned around, doesn't pay the dope man to kill him anymore. The dope man shouldn't get mad at me. Better get mad at God. God's the one who turned him around. But as it is, we tend to want to fight flesh and blood, thinking that's where the fight is, and it's not. We jump to Acts 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They're trying to fight something that is unwinnable for them. These men record or preach Christ, and God gives the increase. That's exactly what happened. And the Bible said, you know what happened? They put them in jail. And verse 4 is an unbelievable verse in Acts 4. Somehow we read the Bible sometimes so much we don't read it slow enough to appreciate what we're reading. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Well, there's the key word, believed. He told them to repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out in chapter 3. Repent means to grieve and believe, or grieve to believe. I grieve over my sin. Oh, I've sinned against God, and I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm hopeless as far as my going to heaven. What must I do? If that's all I do is grieve, I can't save me. I must believe. Believe who? Believe Jesus and on Jesus, the only hope I have for salvation. That's what happened. Many of them heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. The men. This is an incredible event. You can't make this up. 5,000. And brother, that stirred up unbelievers. And the devil will always stir up unbelievers in every generation to discourage winning and growing people. The resurrection of Christ was a threat to their authority. All they had to stop this threat. They had to. Since they cannot do anything to Jesus, they did all they thought they should do or could do to Jesus to stop him. And it didn't. Can't kill him. You can't kill God. You can't kill Christ. You can fight against him. You can fight against it. Something's going to nag you the rest of your life. People are angry because they can't fight what they can't see. So they dismiss it, poke fun at it. And it's pitiful, isn't it? To walk on earth and see what God has done in creation. And it's not going to last, but I mean, what he's done in creation, what he's done with the human body. I mean, it ought to be a daily thing that we marvel how we are wonderfully and marvelously made. It's unbelievable. And yet God's not going to make you believe. When we get people saved and grow people and they improve their character, improve their spirit, improve their behavior, and God does it, that stirs up the devil. And he's going to stir up his unbelievers every time. He'll even stir up believers that are backslidden. because it's a threat to the devil. They put Peter and John on trial. Put them on trial. Isn't that amazing? And there were two notable high priests. I mean, they were the upper echelon. And maybe the most famous high priest was there. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. These were learned men. Caiaphas married the daughter of Annas, and he became the very famous high priest that was considered almost like God. When he spoke, they listened. Now, Annas was a high priest in AD 25, and he held that. You hold the office for life. You hold that priest office for life. And from my reading, he was the president of the Sanhedrin. And so this son-in-law was there too. Both men of notable honor and recognition and learning. And now they've got these two fishermen, these two firebrands, these two preachers of Christ. Well, we're going to get rid of, we'll take care of these birds. Have you noticed through the ages they've tried to kill the messenger, and sometimes they do, but they can't kill the message? You're just not going to stop the message. It's going to go somewhere. There's places in the world that we don't hear about those places, but the gospel is taking hold in villages and encampments and in cities and in towns. There's places in our city where God is changing lives and saving sinners. It's not going to be broadcast. They're not going to have a press conference about it. There's not going to be a write-up in the newspaper about it. There'll not be a reporter that reports it, but it's happening. You're not going to kill the message, friend. I like the idea that we've attached ourselves, and I believe you're with me, to a message that can't die. I often, on our gospel tracks, we have the time of our services and the phone number and so forth. And on the back, it says the Bible way to heaven. And I'll tell people sometimes, I'll hand it that, and I'll say, listen, I don't have time to talk to you, but I said, there's a message on the back of this little gospel tract that changed my life. I think it'll change yours. Won't you read it and consider? And that's when you don't have time to talk, or they don't want to talk. You're not going to kill the message. Oh, yeah, you can kill the messenger. You can maim his name. You can misrepresent him. But you're not going to kill the message. Boy, they bring these guys. And I like Peter's response to the questioning. Can you picture that? It's a big group of men. And they set them in the midst. They ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? Who you know what they're saying? Who gave you the authority to do this? That's what they mean by what power. They weren't talking about the power of God. They were talking about what authority. Who's giving you permission? And by the way, no man has a right to give permission for us to teach, preach, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's given us a commission to do it. That's a higher power than any power on earth. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed, this is what's going on. Is this the examination done to the impotent man by what means he's made whole? Be it known unto all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, this man stands there whole because of him. What a message. You're not going to kill it. I'm out of time. Trust you have a great rest of your day. Till next time, Brother Walker reminding you, you live on the victory side. Hello again, Pastor Walker here. Our last night of revival tonight. 7 o'clock, Evangelist Chris Dallas. Don't miss it. Friend, come on out. Oh, I know life's busy, but come on out and be with us. We'll provide nurseries as well as transportation. Give us a call. And thanks for tuning in again. And so long from the Voice of Victory broadcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Voice of Victory broadcast from Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington. Call Brother Walker today and let him know you want to continue to hear the broadcast. 859-231-0442. That's 859 area code 231-0442, 231-0442.
93.3 FM.